Oh, yes.
In the house tonight, guest analyst on Got Your Back, Jason Strudwick, also set to go. It's like a reunion, the three of us. Can't wait. Welcome to Got Your Back, folks. Post-game live stream edition. That was a tight one. Hey, Oilers squeaking out a 1-0 win over the Los Angeles Kings. They take a 3-1 stranglehold on the series. They're in great shape, getting on the plane, grabbing both games, and heading home. Coming at you, as always, Long Shot Studio here in the park. All Oilers game nights during the playoffs. All you can eat wings. $25 a person. Check out Long Shots out here in Sherwood Park. That's Long Shots with a Z.ca online as well. And as always, our show is presented by our title sponsor, Sherwood Buick GMC. If you or anyone you know is even remotely interested in a new set of wheels, hook them up with Sherwood Buick GMC. 10 Auto Mall Road is the address, just off Baseline Road on the way into Sherwood Park. Great vehicles. I've got the 1500 Sierra Elevation, just a whale of a truck. Fantastic. They can help you out with used. They can help you out with new. They've got a streamlined sales process. They definitely know what they're doing over at Sherwood Buick GMC. Go see Phil and the crew or visit them online, www.gmcpod.com. As we say, good evening to the fellas, Jason Greger and Jason Strudwick. Gregs, how you doing, buddy? Welcome back to Got Your Back, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. You didn't mention that your truck has a lot of headroom, too.
What do you mean? What are you saying? I need headroom?
I'm just saying.
I don't know that you're one to talk. Like, sitting here looking at this display right now, your head looks of equal mass and size to at least me.
I'd bring a measuring tape out here. Trust me, I'm not remotely close to your two craniums. Not like there's a lot more inside mine, but it's compact.
Pretty big head. I'll admit, Shogger, then me, then Greg. Right, his head isn't very big, actually.
No,
couldn't be with those narrow shoulders.
Not the one on my shoulders, anyway.
I got my kids got big head too. Like, we went skiing to Marmot and he went to get rentals and like they had to like pull him into the back room. They're like, yeah, you need to come with us. Like, nothing on the shelves worked. He got his old man's head, man. And then the one he ended up getting, it had the tape to it, BFH. And I'll let you guys figure out what that stood for. That was the helmet that Noah ended up getting. Out at the ski hill. So, yes, all the more processing power in this head of ours for all that high quality math that we're able to do, fellas. Looking forward to breaking this game down. Gregs, it's great to have you on board. Let's just get right to it. Our breakdown tonight of the game brought to you by Adrenaline Diesel, Edmonton's heavy duty diesel truck repair shop. They specialize in heavy duty commercial truck and trailer repair, performance, tuning, and parts sales. They've got a highly reviewed customer support team and professional diesel mechanics that are ready to assist you with all of your needs. Check out all that they do online. AdrenalineDiesel.ca is the website. Lots to talk about in terms of style of play and patience and special teams and all those things, guys. But I think given where we were after game two, Struds, I think we should just start with Stuart Skinner. In particular, in that third period, man, Stu Skinner, like playoff Stu Skinner, it felt like arrived in that period.
Oh, I'm going to talk about Stu, but right now I'm so jacked about that game. That was an unbelievable hockey game. I'm sure you two aren't surprised to hear that. I love that game. Every shift, every play, every time someone touched the puck, you were on the edge of your seat. It was an unbelievable hockey game. And, that when Ekholm came, he talked about learning to win games and being comfortable when it's 1-0 or 1-1 going to third. That's exactly what he's talked about. That was the moment, the game that he talked about where they felt comfortable with him. Guys, I loved it. And Stu Skinner was great. And he was so good. But the Oilers, that was such a good game because that now they can replicate that. No, we've done it before. We can do this, whether it's game four or game five or next round.
Gregs, this is where Rob Brown on the show would clunk Struds over the head because only he would be so in love with his 1-0 game.
Well, dude, I knew before we started that was like porn to Struddy. He was just so excited. But honestly, like I think for the Oiler players, I think it was a very meaningful game for them because I know they'll look at the shot totals and they'll be like, wow. But tonight was a lot of, there wasn't a lot of quality by LA. There was a lot of quantity. Sport Logic had it, I think, 7-4 in favor of Edmonton for high danger chances, in fact. And,
yeah,
you know, Edmonton, you know, they've been preaching this since they lost last year. We have to be able to be comfortable in our own zone for 30 seconds at a time, and they can cycle around the outside and we don't break down. And they, you know, like, obviously you're going to have some breakdowns at some point. The other team's got some skilled players. They'll get some decent shots, but, you know, especially in the first two periods, I'm not sure LA might've had maybe one or two. In the third, they had a few chances. You knew they would. But overall, Stuart Skinner, I thought the thing about Skinner was, man, he was poised the whole game. But I was kind of in the minority after game two. I said, you know what? Those are some of the weirdest goals in those first two games. Like, Stuart Skinner in game one was fine. There was three garbage goals in garbage time that he had nothing to do with. And then look at game three, he only allowed one goal. So I think Stuart Skinner, you know what? He had two goals he'd probably want back in game two. But other than that, I actually think Skinner's been pretty good the rest of the series.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, coming out of game two, there was a little bit too much talk about bounces for my liking coming out of game two. Like, I thought the Oilers didn't play good enough. I thought they made mistakes. I thought, you know, Skinner had an okay night, but I don't think he was great necessarily, Gregs. So, you know, I think they went on the road and kind of put an exclamation point on this thing, Struds. It was a convincing win last game. And Skinner, what did he end up with? 27 saves last game. Throws up 33 save shutout here tonight. But in that third period, Struds, like, there wasn't a lot of chances LA's way in the first two periods, but that changed in the third. And I thought in the third they were more dangerous and the degree of difficulty on those saves went up. And to me, Skinner just seemed to evolve. Like, right in front of our eyes there, he just, playoff Skinner to me, was kind of evolved in that period.
He sure did. And he's going to get a lot of credit, which he's well-deserved. But guys, I love tea. I made a nice tea for the end of the game. And that last eight, I think it was maybe the second last shift. The puck goes out to the D-man. And Leon Draisaitl got down and blocked a shot. I spit the tea all over the place. And this is expensive tea. Like, we're talking 40, 50-cent tea bags, guys. You don't like to throw it around on my tea. I couldn't believe it. I've never seen Leon block a shot like that in that moment. I was blown away. I had tears streaming down my face as I was cleaning up the tea, guys. Like, that is the kind of commitment that we saw in front of Skinner. And Skinner was great. But even when the puck was around Skinner, they would just calmly take it away, get it away out of the trouble areas, and instead of trying to hit a home run with amazing pass.
Struds, you know, the guy had to make some really good saves in the third. That's two times I've tried to tee you up to talk about how good Skinner played in the third, and two times you've taken it off in your strutty directions. Greg's, break the tie here. I thought Skinner was really good in that third period. No,
the third period, without question. That's where he got tested the most. And
come on,
you know, he came up big. There's no question about it. And that's what you need from your goalie sometimes. Like, sometimes it gets lost on people. Well, you know what? Teams win. Some nights it's going to be your goalie. Some nights it's going to be your best player. Some nights it's going to be your penalty kill, right? Tonight it was everything, right? Like, the power play was good. The penalty kill was perfect again. And, you know, now 5-on-5, you break even. So, you know what? Away you go. Sure. We all know they don't want to spend that much time in their own zone. You know, that's not a recipe for success. But tonight it was. And in the playoffs, every game is different. I don't think you can get caught up in, well, you know what? What they did, all that matters is you win the game, right? Like, analytics really don't mean shit. The only thing that matters is goals for, goals against. And if you have more, great. But Skinner tonight, like, he can't do a better job. Like, right? Like, your job is you don't want to let them score a goal. Well, he pitched a perfect shutout. I thought he had two really sound games in LA. What's he had? A 983 save percentage on the road in the series. That's, you can't ask for much more from your goaltender. Yeah, he was excellent. And I think it's a boost of confidence. Not that he necessarily needed one after game three, but this is a bigger boost of confidence. Like, I'm sure that team is just like, okay, we can win scoring six goals. We can win scoring one goal.
Okay. Struds, I'm going to tee you up for something that I know you will gush about and actually want to talk about. So I'm not going to try again on Skinner with you. We'll move on from that. Maybe he'll be your relentless player of the night. I don't know. I hope so. So there are two special teams to talk about. There's the Oilers power play that won them the game, or there's the Oilers penalty kill that saved them the game. And I'm going to let you talk about the penalty kill first, because they are perfect in the series. And we'll get to the nice goal after, but I'm going to placate you by letting you talk about the penalty kill first.
Yeah, there's a theme of what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about things that don't come across on the score sheet that won't be put on Instagram. And that's the play away from the puck. And I thought another great example is the penalty kill. It's been good for a good chunk of the series, or all the series, I should say. But what I love about it is how aggressive they were. And they were relentless in pushing down on the D-man. So generally speaking, power plays, they want to get the puck to the middle of the ice. What the Oilers are doing, they were kind of the wingers or the forwards were coming up, cutting off the middle of the ice and then pushing that player down. And you're kind of routing me into an area where he doesn't want to get the puck, which is kind of on the wall, going down, and you're running into maybe your the other D-man or into the corner. There's nowhere to go. And they kept doing it over and over again. LA tried to release the pressure by firing the puck around. Well, guess who was over there? The other forward pushing that top guy down. So they were so aggressive. It was a real clinic. And then I think they had two or three hard clears, and those pucks were gone. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I thought their PK and they're just so tight and so detailed. It was great. It was great. Credit to Stewie.
People probably don't realize. I mean, we see so many shots of Glenn Gulletson on the bench because he runs that world-famous power play. Mark Stewart in this penalty kill, man. When Chris Knobloch got here, he handed that thing to him, and the turnaround has been stunning.
Yeah. Well, the thing they've done, and you know, what's great about the playoffs is you get to a matchup and you can really drill down on it, right? Like in the regular mm-hmm. season, you're seeing different power plays all the time. And before this series, I was talking to Ryan McLeod about the Kings power play. And he said, what they do really well is they got good shooters, guys who can shoot from distance. So they've basically just been pressuring. Sometimes they'll let teams come in and set up on the half boards, right? Like you just do that. They haven't. LA, like they pressure the minute the guy's on the half wall, somebody's on, and whether it's defenseman. And the thing is, you've got guys like Nurse can really skate, so he can close the gap quick. McLeod and Fogel, when they're out there, and they've kind of been bumped up to the second unit, right? It was Carrick and Nugent Hopkins, and you know tonight mm-hmm. it was Ryan and Nugent Hopkins, and then obviously you know they have the third pair and Janmark and Henrique come out, but you know they've moved up Fogel and McLeod, and those two are quicker, right? So I think it really works well against LA. Like LA just hasn't been able to ever get comfortable and get their shots away. Now, Edmonton's done a good job of not taking too many penalties, so that obviously mm-hmm. helps, right? Because guys, they don't get to feel the puck as much, but they don't give them any time. And I think LA just hasn't reacted. And I went back and watched the regular season games, guys. In the regular season, they would come in and Kempe would get the puck on the hash marks on the boards, and they would just kind of let him stand there. And I think they said, okay, we ain't doing that, because that's when they get comfortable. And you know what? It's all, and Strutty would know this, it's all about adjustments, right? And so far, LA's power play has looked terrible trying to adjust to this high-pressure penalty kill.
Struds, you were talking about it on the last podcast. I think what you said is it's like the Oiler forwards are controlling, the Oiler penalty killers are controlling the Kings' power play by forcing them to go where they want them to go. And then Kevin Bieksa actually did a really nice job breaking that exact thing down. He must have been listening to the podcast, breaking that exact thing down at one of the intermissions tonight. So really good job by the Oilers to dictate and to control. Let's flip over and talk about the power play. So when the series started, the very first power play the Oilers threw out was a different formation than they'd been using. Remember, guys, they had like Nugent Hopkins on the right point and Draisaitl on the bumper and McDavid on, like it was a different look. Then if you think about the goal they scored, that classic Draisaitl clapper from the corner, just a ridiculous angle. But tonight, like they don't want to be too predictable. Everybody knows McDavid's looking for Draisaitl over there. Everybody knows. So what does he do tonight? Quick pause, throws it out in the middle of the ice, and just some misdirection there, Struds. Like to me, one of the beautiful things about this power play is they work really hard not to be predictable. And when they start to get predictable, they adjust.
Well, everyone knows that they want to get to a dry settle, right? They've been doing it for a long time. So I think this is a plan they'd worked out, because they slide over to dry settle and the goaltender, everyone slides over a little bit. They pump it back to Bouchard. And where does Bouchard shoot it? Far side. He doesn't try to go short side. He goes far side, just over the pad and rips in there. That was just a great play. And you know, I didn't see that coming. You know, we haven't seen it. We really haven't seen that wrinkle. We've seen one time as a Bouchard, but not in that sequence. Usually that's a shot from Draisaitl. So the misdirection, whatever word, you know, we want to use for it, it was great. And I, for one, did not expect them to have this much success on the power play against the Kings in this series, Griggs.
Well, like last year, they went 9-for-16, but the Kings' penalty kill was terrible in the regular season at like 74%. This year, the Kings came in with the second best penalty kill in the league, just under 85%. And what are the orders? They're 8 for 15. So now over the last 2 years, they're 17 of 31 in the series against LA. 17 of 31, guys. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I looked at the, I put it out on Twitter earlier today, the combined, like, you normally you're like, hey, if our penalty kill and power play can be 110%, you're pretty happy. The orders in the series is 153.3 and LA's is 46.6. Like, it's not close. Like, they're dominating them there. And really, LA had the one game of 5-on-5, and they got some, you know, garbage time goals in game one that make the 5-on-5 really look better than it is. Like, this is, I really think Edmonton has dominated this series for a lot of reasons. And the thing that's funny, guys, LA has not been able, outside of one game in the three-year series, they haven't been able to win a game in a low scoring. And most of us would have said, well, that's LA's forte. They won 4-0. Every other game they've won is either overtime, 5-4, 5-4, or 4-3. Mm-hmm. Edmonton's actually the team that's won 1-0. They've won 2-0. They've won 3-2 with an empty netter. So it's actually quite funny when you think of who's the better defensive team. But in the series over 3 years, Edmonton's actually proven that they're the team that can win the lower scoring games.
Well, they've allowed one goal against in their last two games. We saw during that winning streak, guys, Gregor, how many games was it they went with allowing, was it two or few goals? Was it like 14 in a row? Anyway, whatever it was more than a dozen games and where they were two goals or less. They've shown that they can play this type of hockey. To do it in the playoffs, though, to be as patient as they were, I thought they showed a tremendous amount of maturity early on in this game. We'll talk about the physical energy that LA brought, maybe what the key for LA moving forward is in our next segment. But let's get to our relentless player of the night, though. I'm sure Struds is finally going to give Stuart Skinner some credit here. Brought to you by UCanU Services. If you're looking to hire entry-level staff for your company, UCanU Services trains youth in pre-employment skills to help get them ready, willing, and able to join your team and join the workforce. Check out www.ucan.ca for more information. Struds, are you scanning the stats to try and figure somebody out right now?
You were going to go
with Skinner, and now you changed your mind just to give me the middle finger?
I'm not going to lie. I was going to go with Leon Draisaitl because I've never seen a block a shot like that.
Leon Draisaitl's shin pads over Stuart Skinner tonight.
But I will give it to Stu. I get a feeling that you're nudging me in that direction. I'll give it to Stu. He had a great game. He was really good. He was really good. And I think it was Greg that said he was just square to puck. He was calm and made some great saves. But I love the team in front of him. But I'll still give it to Stu. Give it to Stu.
Gregs, we've covered so many goalies over the years. What's your experience covering the Zen disposition of Stuart Skinner? It's different. I've never really covered a tender that with that sort of Zen.
Honestly, I've never covered a goaltender that will have such open conversations with you. Stuart Skinner and I were like, and he asks like lots of questions about lots of different things. He's a real guy who seems to have a thirst for knowledge about lots of different things, right? Like there's been a times where he's asked me, hey, what did you see? And I'm like, what? Huh? And then we'd have a discussion. He's like, oh, interesting. And I'm kind of like, what the hell is he asking me for? But he's like, you never know who's going to see something different, right? Like he kind of laughs. He goes, some people get annoyed that I ask a lot of questions. I'm like, dude, I think that's great. But Skinner is just, he's a very calm guy. He's very much into, just being focused mentally. And the thing I like about Skinner, if he has a bad game, he'll mention it, but he's not derogatory to himself. He's like, hey, you know what? Like that one game, it goes, everybody in here should be happy except for me. I think that was the Tampa game. And then there was the, and then even in game two, he's like, you know what? He broke down all five goals very honestly on what he saw. Kempe, nice shot, but I think I should save it. Second goal, this one. Third goal, this, right? And he it's very nonchalant. He's very calm, right? He's ultra competitive, but he's very, I find him refreshing to talk to. As a goaltender, because he never really seems to have an excuse for something. He'll just say, well, you know what? Hey, I should have made that save. Didn't make it. Now we move on. I will want to say one thing though, guys, about Leon Draisaitl, Stridey, that I'm surprised you didn't mention. Cause I thought Draisaitl to me, the most impressive part of his game tonight, I counted four times. His backtracking and backchecking was outstanding tonight, catching guys from behind, picking their pockets, winning battles on boards. And Draisaitl's been unreal offensively in the series too. Right. Like he's such a dominant offensive force, But tonight I thought his speed on the back check and numerous times to pick guys' pockets, that to me was the most impressive part of his game.
Just decimating in the faceoff circle. He was 73% last game. He was 61% tonight. And that's difference making. Struds, what's the over-under on how long Gregor filled Skinner's ear when Stu made the mistake of asking him what he thought? Like, it must have been a good 10 minutes. Hey, Gregs, did you just...
No, because I don't want to say what he asked me about, but it was about like a 45-second thing. It was interesting.
Yeah, I call bullshit. You never do 45 seconds.
Dude, it was after a game, and you know how everybody's leaving, and I was just talking to him, and then you know, we just had a conversation. It was, and he's done that a few times actually. He's a big thirst for knowledge guy.
Yeah. Did you slip in that someone should cut their stick?
Hey, buddy. Hey, truth hurts, but stew sticks, no problem.
You know what's funny, Greg's? I've actually cut my stick probably down an inch and a half, and I had an unreal weekend at the Alzheimer's. I was wheeling and dealing.
There you go.
You know what? There you go. All those years ago, I wish you would have told me to cut my stick 20 years ago.
Greg's, you're going to host.
You never handled the puck long enough for me to get a sense of how you could.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I wasn't allowed to touch in a warm-up either.
Did you shoot left or right? I can't remember. What? Gregor, you've been hosting like 15 years longer than me. Any tips for anything I can learn as a host? Any tips for me?
No, you're good, buddy. I was just going to say your live reads have really improved. It's good.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that, buddy. Wow.
Yeah. Love it.
Hear that, Struddy?
I did.
Yes. Okay. Lots more to come in our takeaway segment. Going to dive into a little bit about the physical energy in tonight's game, what the pathway is for LA to try and get themselves back in this series a little bit later, and on Taking a Lap. We'll check out what else happened around the National Hockey League. We got Struddy's World. Ask us anything. I see a real healthy, holy smokes, huge number on the live stream tonight. So we really appreciate everybody that's joined in to talk about this game live. And Zuby, we're doing a scoreboard now, right, pal? Did you remember that? The new wrinkle in our show? Did you prep it?
I absolutely did. I wrote several sentences.
Awesome. So Zuby's going to say sentences now. Brought to you by DeBoer's Golf Shop and Fitting Center, aiming to help you play better golf. With golf fitting, instruction, after-sales support, golf merchandise, they've got clothing. Oh, and they've always got a smile. Scott, TJ, Al, and the crew, you walk in there and it's just like you're arriving home. Handshake and a hello, always a joke. It's an awesome atmosphere. Celebrating 25 years, check out their pro shop style atmosphere located at 5311 99th Street. In Edmonton. Zuby, we had some complaints in the last scoreboard that you didn't have a music bed. Do you have one prepped today, or shall I roll it again?
I don't have a new song yet, but I've got the theme ready to go.
I got you here, buddy.
Okay.
I got you.
Before we get to that, too, people wanted me to ask Gregor if he thinks that Kane's goal last night was a garbage goal.
Oh, Struds and I got into an argument. Struds took offense to me calling Kane's goal off his knee a garbage goal. He thought that was insulting and didn't like it, Gregs. What would you say? Garbage goal?
Oof, that's a good question. Well, he didn't touch it with his stick, so I'm not sure it's a skill play, but you go into the net. So yeah, I'd probably call it a garbage goal in a good way though. Like
in Struddy's world, that's a skill goal. In Struddy's world.
No, I didn't say it's skill, but I think it sounds like it's negative, right? It's a negative. So you changed it to greasy. And I like that.
Yeah, greasy
better.
Goal would make more sense. That's fair.
Yeah. Garbage is unfair.
I think I was fine with garbage goal, but we'll call it a tie.
Like a traffic goal. Hey, you know what? That's where, as Smitty would always say, that's where the bags of money are, in front of the net.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. speaking of bags of money, Zuby, earn some of it. Give us the scoreboard and then take us to break, pal.
All right, let's do it. The Avalanche beat the Jets by a count of 5-1. Avs score 3 in the second period to take a 3-1 series lead, headed back to Winnipeg for game 5. Lots of talk about Connor Hellebuck's numbers in this postseason to this point, as the Avs have scored 22 goals in 4 games, couple empty netters in there. But if you watch that game today, the numbers don't tell that whole story. Connor Hellebuck was under siege, and the Avs are a monster on home ice. Canucks with a crazy comeback this afternoon to defeat Nashville, 4-3 in overtime, take a 3-1 stranglehold on that series, headed back to Vancouver. Canucks erased a 2-goal deficit in the final 3 minutes, 2 goals by Brock Besser with surprise goaltender Arturs Shelovs on the bench for the extra attacker, and then a mere 102 into OT Elias in Lindholm ended the game. You wonder how many Canuck fans, maybe fringe Canuck fans, might have found out later in the day on their phone or somewhere that was some TVs, I think, might have been turned off at 3-1
right,
because Canucks weren't mounting much of an attack again, only 20 shots on goal, a low shot total for them, but they come away with the win. And finally, the first teams to shake hands so far this postseason, Rangers sweep the Capitals. Artemi Panarin scored the go-ahead goal early in the third. Rangers win 4-2. Alex Ovechkin, 0 goals, 0 points, only 5 shots on goal in the 5-game series. So not much there for Ovi. And that's your scoreboard. That's your DeBoer's scoreboard.
Before we go to break, Zuby, did you shave your goatee? You noticing that, Spruds, after 3 years?
I know. He threw me off. It looks good.
It's like the opposite of a beard.
It's not a goatee. Yeah. You know what? I was doing my trimming that I normally have to do, and then
Let me get a look at that. Lean closer.
My son was watching me, and he said, "Dad, can you shave it all?" I said, "Sure, it just grows back." So,
wow. Nice look, buddy. All right. Good job on the scoreboard for your second run through. A little too much goaltending detail. We know you're part of the fraternity, but you were kind of waxing on with some goaltending analysis there.
Most important position this time of year.
All right. Go to break. Takeaways coming up.
The fastest growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscape 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard to reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen.
On paper, my life looks exciting.
In reality, not so much.
Every day it's same old, same old.
Clock in, clock out.
Then I discovered Play Alberta. I can play casino games anytime.
Bet on any game.
And buy lottery tickets anywhere in Alberta. I think my spleen is ruptured.
All right, let's get to our takeaways from the night, brought to you by Martin Motorsports, the perfect commuter bike. Is it Martin Motorsports? No gas, no oil or filter changes, no belts to replace, no spark plugs. Take a look at that beauty. Oh! Zero combines, the best aspects of a traditional motorcycle with advanced technology. You need to demo one to get the full experience of riding an electric bike. Sign up for their free demo event at martinmotorsports.ca. How sharp do those things look? Okay, guys, the LA Kings last game.
Hey, do you think either one of you could ride a motorcycle?
Oh,
no.
100% I could. I mean, good. Absolutely.
There's no chance Strutty would. I know that for sure.
No, he'd just fall over because that head with a helmet on it, it would.
But Shocker, have you ever ridden a? Have you ever ridden a motorcycle?
I rode on the back of one time. My buddy took me for a ride. I was hugging him. Slow down! You know, it was awesome. Don't.
Jeez, he didn't even hold the back.
I could do it. I'm going to Martin Motorsports. I'm test driving one of those bad boys, man. Chris is taking us out.
Someone get a video of it.
Resting. You probably had your head resting on his back.
Hey, Chris, you better go find the BFH helmet, too. Yeah.
I would prefer one of those ones with the one wheel up front and the two in the back, though. What are those ones? Martin Motorsports has those, too, I'm sure.
Yeah. A tricycle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, guys, last game, the lone LA Kings goal, if you recall, came off a wicked forecheck. I think it was Laferriere, knocked over Vinny Dernay, created a turnover, and it ends up in the back of the net a couple of seconds later. I thought some of their only and best looks in game three, came from really hard forechecking and banging the defenseman around. But it was only a few guys I thought that did that last game. Struds, to me, it was like this whole Kings team got the memo and came out. It was everybody right from the start tonight.
Well, desperate. I think going into this game, they knew that if they lose, I mean, that's a pretty big hill to climb to come back three straight against any team. But I think the Oilers is going to be a tall order. So they were desperate to do it. But you're right. I thought, you know, for the most part, they carried the offensive play. And I think the shots reflect that. And they're in the offensive zone more often than not. But the Oilers kind of weathered the storm and continue to weather the storm, shift in, shift out. So they did a really good job. But, you know, for the Kings, if I'm looking forward, you know, they got quite a few shots. There was a ton of quality. You know, we could probably not as many as you want, but I think they have to find a way to get more in front of Stu Skinner and kind of make it uncomfortable for him. You know, as far as it, not being able to see the puck or redirecting pucks, because the way Stu played tonight, you're probably not beating him straight up on a shot enough to beat the Oilers in a game, guys.
Gregs, what did you like about the way the Oilers handled the physicality? Because I was watching there thinking, I don't think they're going to be able to match this. Like, LA has brought this to a whole new level, and it's more about absorbing it and maybe not reacting.
Oh, yeah. I never really saw any time where it looked like they had like a retaliation, even action. You know, it's funny, like, for as many hits as they had in the game tonight, like, was there even one scrum tonight that you can think of? Right. Like,
That's a great point, man.
It was a different type of emotional game, really. Like, we've seen fights, but tonight there was lots of hits, but none of them really, like, you know, the Kane hit on Doughty. Doughty tried to get out of the way and obviously kind of caught him with looked like a little bit of a, you know, kind of back Charlie horse on the back of his thigh. But, you know, Hyman got rocked pretty good by Doughty, but a lot of the other ones were like, they're hard hits, but the Oilers seemed to get up against the glass a lot and they were ready for them, that, you know, they're shoulder checking lots, but they never looked that they got kind of, you know, rattled from the constant barrage, right? Because usually what you want to do is you hit them, because eventually maybe one guy all of a sudden's like, oh, I hear footsteps, and you pass the puck quicker than you should. I thought Edmonton was like, you know what? We're going to make plays and we'll take the hit to make the play all day. And that's pretty much what they did.
Let's listen to some of what the players were saying. Struds, I believe you and Zuby were pulling these postgame clips while I was doing some stuff for TSN. So maybe Zuby, I'll let you pick one and tee it up. It'll be brought to you, our sound box, by Weiss Johnson. $200 off their Fantech HEPA filter system right now. So if we have forest fires again, and we really hope that we don't, but if we do, you know how it gets so dicey outside and you just want to go someplace comfortable, one of these HEPA filter systems will let the inside of your house be that comfortable place that you can go to get a break from all that smoke. If you have someone in the family with respiratory issues, this thing's really going to help you as well. So contact Weiss Johnson. It's a great deal on this important piece of equipment. Weiss-Johnson.com. Jingle. Weiss Johnson. Slow, Zuby. Who are we hearing from, buddy?
Let's play the Ekholm clip that about the calmness of the D.
I feel like throughout the season, we've shown that when we do stay calm, we tend to play better as a team as well. And the times we get rallied up, or you yell at the refs or this and that, usually we get off script and it doesn't go our way. So I think the guys have seen that. We've rallied around it. And I think we're trying to stay as calm as we can on the bench. And he helps us out in that regard in a big way.
So late in that game, Struds, timeout is called. Everybody's fresh. You can tap anybody you want to defend that lead. Did you notice who Knobloch tapped on the back end for that last minute and a half? Ekholm and Desharnais were the ones put on the ice out of that timeout. Like, Vinny Desharnais, between the penalty killing, the way he's simplifying, moving the puck well, on the ice in that moment, Struds, pretty impressive.
The difference between Desharnais last year and this year is remarkable. Like, it is, every time he steps on the ice, he's just going to get paid more and more. Like, he is having a major impact in some key blocks, getting his foot in the way, whatever it was, or whatever's going. But I love that quote from Ekholm, because I think that without saying it, he's saying this team has matured. And you need to have that calm. You have to be through those moments where you're not getting frazzled and guys are yelling at each other, or coaches yelling, you know, get it out, ice it. Like, just knowing what your job is and how I'm going to go by it and going to do it. So, you know, we didn't see the Oilers take shots at the empty net. They just chipped the puck out. You know, guys would go up the ice, again, squeeze off. They just chip it in, you know, into the offensive zone. And yeah, they'd put one guy up there with kind of pressure, but they weren't just taking unnecessary risks at the wrong time. So there is a maturity there and a comfort level in playing those games, and it, because they're hard. Those are hard games, because every single play matters. And I think that's what I like about so much watching it, because just everything matters, Griggs.
Oh, hey, you know, Vincent Desharnais, every element of his game has improved. He's joked about a little bit. He goes, I got to get more confidence with the puck of my stick in the offensive zone, right? Like, I got to hit the net. And I've seen him after practice working on it. But in the defensive zone, like, he, you know how everybody has their role, And right now for Vincent Desharnais, he feels that if he's blocking shots and getting in the lane, that's like guys who have to score a goal. That's his job. And like the other day, he had what, 5.5 minutes on the penalty kill, right? Like he's been a beast. And so, you know, it makes sense when you're 6'7" and now you're starting to handle the puck, but he just gets in the way. Like there was twice today where it looked like an LA King guy had a step on him. He took a different angle. Then he reached around with his go-go gadget arm and it just knocks the puck off the guy's stick. And you're just like, huh? Like you don't have to have perfect position when you're that big, right? Like he obviously is a good, and he skates pretty well for a guy who's 6'7", I think. And like where he can go in the future, like Strutty's, I agree with you. There's been a big improvement this year. And now that he's got confidence, like wait another 2 or 3 years for him. Cause he's really only played 100 NHL games, maybe 110.
Interesting question here on the YouTube stream. Courtesy Jacob says, guys, is there any chance Vinny does not make the NHL if not for Woody calling him up? Now, in other words, he wasn't necessarily at the top of the list or on a ton of radars, played really well internally. It got noticed, you know, Woodcroft knew what he was capable of. I tend to think, Struds, that he would have bowled his way there eventually. Just, you know, I think getting to the NHL is really what accelerated the skills and allowed him to stay there. But I think he probably would have bowled his way into an opportunity. Don't you, Struds, at some point?
I don't know how many injuries have been. Like how many times would he have been the guy that gets called up? You know, I think that's, it's hard because without a coach that knows you, you know, how are you getting the opportunity to come up and play? And there's a lot of talk about, I think it was that your Kessler ring was more on the everyone's tip of their tongue than Desharnais. So yeah, I hear it because just someone who knows you brings up, says you can do this and they give you a chance to do this. But if they don't know you, they don't, can't trust you. They don't really know what you do and what makes you work. So I don't know. I want to think he would have made it, but I don't know if the chance was there.
It's a fair question.
Yeah, it's fair. I think he would have, guys, because the Oilers had no depth on the right side. Right. And, yeah, and one, sure. And especially, you know, and I do think that, you know, when the season began that year, when he got called up, he was injured again. Unfortunately, you know, he got hurt, so he didn't come to camp. And then he went back down to the minors. Then he got hurt again. And then he finally got recalled in January. And honestly, I think his play for 2 months, they felt comfortable enough to say, okay, he can be a third pair defenseman. We can trade Tyson Barry and go get Matthias Ekholm. Because we know now he's a totally different defenseman. We know that Bouchard was going to take all of Barry's offensive minutes, but they were at least comfortable that Desharnais could be a third pair defenseman. And now he's emerged. Well, he plays third pair minutes. He's on their first unit penalty kill, right? Like he's a first unit penalty kill. Him and Ekholm now start the majority of the penalty kills. Right now, the minutes are pretty even between Nurse and CeCe because guys are going 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off. I get it. But, and you guys mentioned about being on the ice at a crucial time. Like, we know who their four defensemen are they'll use in the last 2 minutes of the game, right? It's going to be Desharnais and Ekholm, and then it's going to be Nurse and CeCe. And prior to tonight, Nurse and CeCe had played the most minutes, 5-on-5 in the series. And what the one thing you guys haven't talked about that I'm curious what your thoughts were, LA's decision to switch his matchups tonight. He put Deneau against Draisaitl, and he put Kopitar against McDavid's line. And while you can say, oh, yeah, it worked for them, but they didn't generate a lot of chances. Yeah. And the Kempe line had been the one line that was scoring, and they really didn't generate much at all tonight. And I was kind of surprised that he opted to do that coming off a loss when that's the one line that had been scoring.
I mean, you got lit up. You're looking for things that you can change to try and make a little bit of a difference. It probably just came from, let's give it a go and see how it goes, right? You make the change in nets. I think that worked out pretty well for them. You could argue that that change he made worked out reasonably well tonight, considering the Oilers offense being stymied the way it was, Struds. Like this was as little as the Oilers had shown offensively in the entire series so far. So, you know, maybe that decision made some sense.
Yeah, I actually think it's interesting he went against his matchups and he changed them up. I think the big save Dave change was a pretty bold move. Bit of a wild card. I know he's had some, you know, he's had a couple playoff games and he's played against the Oilers exactly when he's with the other teams as well. But I, you know, just putting him in that moment where it's a huge game. And I thought he answered pretty well. He wasn't tested a ton, but you know, a couple saves he made early, I thought were pretty impressive. So that to me was a really, I thought it was a really bold move by a relatively young or inexperienced coach.
So does he go back to him in game 5?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's
loud one goal. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I know the Oilers got nothing for shots, but Greg's just taking a look at natural stat trick here, too. So Connor McDavid at even strength tonight out there against Kempe, the most even strength minutes, 11:04. You know, 23% of the shot share. I mean, obviously, it's going to look like that tonight, but like the results of it, just in terms of flow of play and which way the ice seemed to tilt. I think it looks like it got pretty good results. I'll check Draisaitl real quick here too. Phil Deneau, 10.55 at even strength against him, 37% Corsi four. So, yeah, interesting change. Great point by you bringing that up. And we'll see if they end up. I mean, they're not going to control the matchup back here in Edmonton. So we'll see. Let's get back to the Weiss Johnson soundbox.
In game one and two, Knobloch seemed to just say, "Hey, I don't care what matchup you want." He just kind of rolled his lines. He didn't try to get McDavid away from the Deneau matchup at all, especially because in game one, they murdered him in 6 minutes with three goals. So yeah.
I think he wanted the Deneau matchup in game one, Gregs. Yes. I think Knobloch, well, he changed into it three times in the first period. I think he wanted that matchup. I think I won't say chased it because he would never hold McDavid off the ice waiting for it, but he changed into it multiple times. So I think that Knobloch was okay with that.
Yeah. I think, you know what, on home ice, like the Oilers are, you know what? That was a really good road week for them, right? Only one goal against in two games, but you know, the Oilers at home have been a juggernaut and not really from line changing. And I think to me was a really good sign of maturity for a team that, hey, we know how to win a low scoring game, but they've talked about it and everybody's talked about it, Struds. The fact that you can make it a short series and get extra rest, like McDavid's still a little nicked up. I don't care what anyone says. To me, he doesn't have the same burst right now that we're used to. So a few extra days off for him would be massive. I think that game on Wednesday will be huge for them to win and just end the series.
Well, because you have a day off tomorrow, you're traveling, right? And then you have the practice on Tuesday, play Wednesday, and there's no way you want to fly all the way back to LA. So you want to end it. And then you have some time. So it's really like one game, because when did the next series start? After the weekend, guys, or I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Depends how they could all be done in five games, for God's sake.
Yeah, fair point. So let's just say that if, let's say it started Saturday, you'd have one game in 5 days, right, as a group. And so I'm guessing two full days off in there at least. Now there might be some travel or whatever. We don't know, but you get the point. It'd be massive for this group.
Gregs, we appreciate you jumping in tonight, buddy. Great job. Buddy.
Hey, no problem, boys. Anytime.
Much appreciated. By the way, you'll like this. EM Storm in the Weiss Johnson YouTube chat says, "Let's have Jason Gregor take over hosting duties permanently on Got Your Back." So you've got at least one family member on the stream tonight, Gregs.
Hey, you know what? $20 coming your way, EM. $20.
That's two times what I'm paying you tonight, Gregs. That's money out of your own pocket.
Hey, it's worth it, buddy. It's worth it. Can't put a price on pumping up someone's ego, so I'm all over it.
Sounds good. Jason Gregor of Oiler Nation Sports 1440 and the Gregor Show tomorrow. What time, Greg's? 2 to 5 o'clock tomorrow?
Two to six, buddy.
Sorry about that. 2 to 6 o'clock tomorrow.
It's only been 19 years.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought you clipped the extra hour. No, it was the other guys that clipped the hour out of the morning show. So yeah, 2 to 6 tomorrow on 1440 AM. Greg's, thanks, pal.
Have a good one, fellas.
All right. See you, buddy. Quick break. And then when Strutty and I get back, we're going to do brownie points and the rest of the show. Stay with us.
The Brindley family has made it their mission to create the best tasting flavored rums on the planet. And they've knocked it out of the park with their Shipwreck rums. Brewed off the small Caribbean island of St. Kitts, their spiced rum is aged 4 years in bourbon barrels and infused with natural vanilla. Their Shipwreck vanilla is blended with natural Madagascar vanilla, giving it incredible smoothness. One sip and you'll agree, it truly is a vacation in a bottle. Available at your local liquor retailer. Please enjoy responsibly.
Okay, heroes, are you trying to tough it out through a sports or life injury right now? Trying to prove your mettle by grinding through, gritting your teeth? Well, Redefined Health is here to say it's time to come on in. At Redefined Health, they'll high-five you for your toughness and then get to work on helping you fix the problem. Helping athletes and heroes find better balance, performance, and injury prevention. Visit RedefinedHealth.com.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll. It's not right. And I'm here. Someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Guy, I look good.
Ha, 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 ha,
Time now for Strutty's World, brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products, where they have locations in both Calgary and Edmonton, providing high-quality, maintenance-free, fantastic fencing. If you're a contracting business or a contractor, let DLR help you add that vinyl fence to your product line, because you know people want it. Reliable, unmatched service, high-quality North American-made products. Check them out, DLRVinylProducts.ca. It's that time of year to be thinking about the yard. Great time for a new maintenance-free fence. Strutty, where are we going tonight, buds?
Tonight was the best game I've seen Evan Bouchard play as an Oiler.
Wow. Period.
There are so many things I liked about it. I'm not even going to talk about the goal, even though it was a fantastic shot shooting away from where the goalie was coming from. That was great. But when I looked at his poise with the puck, I wouldn't call it outright running guys, but using his big body to squeeze people off, to hold them out of the areas, then his poise with the puck when he got it, and then making hard plays. I think if we go back to game two, I was critical of the first goal against, where he just got and kind of made is it a pass? Is it a bank pass? Is it an area pass? What is it? Tonight, I felt like every time he touched the puck, it was a hard play. He was zipping that puck in, making a hard play, throwing it off the glass at times, which isn't a sin when you're trying to win a game. But I loved his game tonight. I thought he was just did everything right. His breakouts, you know, small little subtle moves to get the puck out to his wingers. I loved his game tonight. This is the Bouchard that the complete game I think we want to see from him. So again, this is the best game I've seen Evan Bouchard play as an Oiler.
Yeah, that's an interesting statement. That is a big, bold statement in a 1-0 game, pointing out Evan Bouchard is playing the best game that you've seen from him, Struds. I mean, it's hard to argue with that. I agree. And, I think one of the questions about Bouchard coming in to the postseason was, is he going to be able to buckle down in those tight moments and avoid the big mistake? So as a team, the Oilers avoided the big mistake for sure. But Evan Bouchard was so sure-handed under pressure. You know what he was doing, Struds? He was welcoming the contact and not shying away from it at all. He was absorbing it and making plays, it and making plays.
Well said.
And that's a step, man. In his first few years, like, we weren't seeing that. That's a big step for that player to shoulder check, know there's impact coming. Still, you know, you can still avoid it, but being responsible in avoiding it.
Yeah, and he's a big body, so you could take some hits. You know, like I you don't need to say, oh, we don't ever want this player getting hit or that player getting hit. Like when I played, I didn't mind taking hits because I knew that I could control where he's going to bounce or he's going to push me because I took the hit. Quinn Hughes is a little bit different. But with Bouchard, he's a big, strong guy, so he can make that happen. But when he's decisive with the puck, he's a very skilled player, but decisive means he's hard on the puck, he uses his body, shields it, then takes a step and bang, hammers a pass out. That's when he's at his best. So we've seen it now. This is the standard that I believe he's set for himself. I didn't set it. You didn't set it. No one else said it. This is the standard I believe we need to see from him. More games are not the playoffs. It's not going to happen every night. No one's perfect every night, trust me. But that is the level that I believe he needs to be for the Oilers to be successful. And tonight was, I'm not even talking about assists, goals, nothing. Just hard plays, skilled plays with the puck on a stick. It was great to watch. I love it.
I think your Strutty's World is completely on point tonight for once. We spent a lot of time talking about Desharnais earlier.
Yeah.
Just gave Evan Bouchard some love. But honestly, Strutty, you could roll through that entire decor tonight. I mean, yeah. Cody Ceci, I thought, was excellent. Darnell Nurse was fantastic, jumping in at the right times, but defending. Like, that blue line played well tonight, man. That is, there's a formula there.
But that's the formula that they need. You know, and this isn't like, okay, so let's get to the big talk. If you're going to win a Stanley Cup, you need to win games 1-0, 2-1. Mm-hmm. And that might be a 1-0 lead for 55 minutes, right? Connor might explode the first 5 minutes and get a goal. And then you gotta just, that's the way the game goes. And that was the way it was tonight. And it felt like all 60 and the forwards decided that they're going to make this really hard for LA to get really good chances. Did they get some chances? Yes, they did. But there's going to be chances in the game.
They avoided the big mistake though, bud.
They avoided and that's a big mistake.
You know, and I think the big mistake's one thing, but one that is like if Kempe comes down and just dangles you and goes around you, like, okay, he made a good play. But when you let's say you misread, like, and not to pick on him, but the one of the goals from the two game two or the winning goal where Nurse kind of didn't fold underneath, like that's something you can prevent. Mm-hmm. Tonight, I don't think it'd be a hard press to go through and to critique a bad decision by a D-man. But to play that way is a ton of just mental focus, and you got to just be resetting yourself on the bench all the time. So I think we've seen that from CC and Nurse. We know Ekholm has done it. Vinny has to do it. I think Kulak understands that he has to do it as well. So the guy that kind of the wild card is Bouchard in there. And I just loved his game tonight. I know the other guys did great, Chakra, but I've got to recognize and 100%. Elevate Bouchard's game, the praise for Bouchard above all others. One ring to rule them all, they said in Star Wars.
And then on top of it, to be able to execute that shot, the thing that blows me away with that one-timer, and the best defenseman in the league can do it, that pass gets dished back. And if you look, all he does is check and sees the pass is on its way, and then he looks at the net, and he's already swinging. And he never looks back down to track that puck. How that doesn't just slide between his feet and end up out the other side. Just amazing the hand-eye coordination and the ability to step into a shot without having to look down and track the puck more than once. It's just off the charts. But that was Strutty's world, and it was an excellent one. The brothers will be happy. Brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products. Now, I don't know if Brownie Points will still be the best segment on the show if Brownie's not actually here to execute them, but while doing that post-game show with Reed, he was kind enough to text in his brownie points for the night. Let's get to him. Brought to you by Hamel's Premium Jerky. If you're looking for a snack to bring to space, if you're going to space, well, their jerky's already been there. It actually has. How about an Alberta-owned company? Shipping is super fast. You can satisfy that savory craving. We've had samples, and they are spectacular. 14 flavors to choose from. And they got a great special going right now. 3 pounds of beef jerky for $85 and free shipping anywhere in Alberta. Hop on to albertajerky.com to order yours. Zuby, go ahead with brownie points.
All right, I'm giving... No, really?
No, I'm kidding. He sent them to me, not you. I've got them. I didn't want you to panic like last night when I teed up the Evander Kane clip that nobody had. Brownies points tonight. All right, here we go. 33 huge brownie points. So big ones, right? They can come in big points and small points. 33 big ones to Stu Skinner, who quieted a lot of his critics with a fantastic 33-save shutout, according to Brownie. 94 brownie points to Evan Bouchard, whose 94-mile-an-hour Bouch bomb from the point was all that the Oilers needed. 60 brownie points to the Edmonton Oilers for sweeping the Kings in LA and putting themselves 60 minutes away from advancing to round two. Now, look, this is a little ridiculous. And if we ever actually want to compile a leaderboard, this just ends the game. I mean, he's wanting to give 100 million brownie points for one thing. 100 million. I think I'm going to veto this one as show host.
Let's hear it for who it's for first.
100 million brownie points to me and you, Strutty, for having a podcast without Brownie. I can't tell if he's being sarcastic. I can't tell if his feelings are a little bit hurt. Why so many for that?
I don't know. Very gritty. He's a very gritty man.
He's a gritty man.
He's fine. He'll be fine. We'll get him on. What day is it? I don't even know what day it is. It's
me neither, buddy. No, I don't even know.
Is it Sunday? Sunday today.
Sunday. 44 brownie points to the Oilers and Kings playing the fastest game ever after a silly 8:52 puck drop. Was it really? Was it the fastest game? Like that was a fast
game. It felt
game.
Fast. It felt so fast. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I loved the pace. It just, and not to go, you know, into the breakdown again, but like every single play mattered. And that's why I prefer those over a 7-4, 7-5, 7-6 game where it's just goal, 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 go. And you can just keep making mistakes. But, you know, over the whole game, how many actual bad reads, bad plays were made by either team? Very, very few. I loved it.
Everybody played so well. Great like game, the Kings' fourth line played great. Yeah. You know, the Oilers had contributions from throughout the lineup. This will probably come up and ask us anything. So we'll get to it then. But interesting, the swap, Carrick out, Ryan in, how we felt about that. Well, let's make a point of getting to that and how we felt about that coming up in Ask Us Anything. Anyways, that was Brownie Points, brought to you by Hamel's Premium Jerky. I'm downgrading Brownie Points tonight to the second best segment on the show, Struds. That wasn't quite as good as your Struddy's World tonight. You brought it for Struddy's World tonight. So for tonight, best segment on the pod.
Babe Ruth didn't hit a home run every game, but he did a lot.
Every once in a while. You hit a home run tonight, buddy. We hit a home run by having Gregor on. What a beauty. It's
great.
Zuby, am I going to throw to a break that doesn't exist, or do we actually have a quick break here before Take a Lap?
No, we got one. We got the Long Shots banger of a song coming up, but we got a three banger here of some 90 seconds of fun.
All right, 90 seconds of fun, and then we'll take a lap when we come back. Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park and Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca. For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com.
Spring is here, and if you're thinking of buying a new home during the housing market hot period, contacting a mortgage broker should be your first step. Maria Gallas with Maximo Mortgages can guide you with a stress-free experience. With access to dozens of different lenders, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you ready to put an offer in on your dream home. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallas at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
Braun Solo says, Rob Brown wasn't even here, and he was still the voice of reason on this show.
Yes. Oh, boy.
Well said. Ro Nelson said, we can't have anyone else do Brownie Points. Like, we could not have anyone else do Struddy's World. And no, Rashad cannot award Brownie Points. Just number 44, Ken. That's the pod rules. Ro, thank you for keeping us all in line. Our rules are sacred. Here on Got Your Back. Time now to take a lap. Brought to you by Backscape, the fastest growing male grooming company on the planet. And it just got even better. I wonder if Gregor uses one of these to shave his head. We'll have to get him one. At least the 2.0, because it is upgraded and it is amazing. Engineered, the friction fit handle lets you effortlessly snap the shaver in and out to touch up the rest of your body. Go to backscape.com. You use our promo code GYB10. Go there and use the promo code. They'll appreciate that. We will too. GYB10 gets you 10% off your first order. Backscape, stay smooth, gentlemen. Okay, Zuby gave us that great scoreboard, Struddy. But let's dig a little deeper. Where are we going today?
Yeah, well, we'll start with Vancouver. I mean, that's a big story. Demko's not playing. And they played, not DeSmith, but was it Sulis? Sulobs, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. They're down 3-1 deep into this game. And then they score at with like 3 minutes left. Brock Besser scores again with like 8 seconds left with their goalie pulled. Then a minute into overtime, Lindholm scores. So within 4 minutes of game clock, Nashville goes from winning and going 3-1 to now losing 4-3. And I'm telling you, people, this thing's over. It was 2-2. The series is going to be 2-2. Now it's 3-1. And it is over. That's a crushing, crushing loss.
That is a tough one, man. And then, you know, the travel in this series is just grisly too.
Yeah.
So that is a long, long flight to sit there and chew on that. So they had it in the bag. How about the post with the open net?
Sissons hits a far. He's going down. If you didn't see the game, I think he was on his. He's a right shot. He's going down the left side. Shoots it. Hits the far post. Like you're
the
talking.
Bench spot he scored. They all celebrated.
Yeah. It was not honestly. That is a crushing loss. Crushing loss for a team that has been playing so well lately. Obviously, you know, ever since they didn't go to see the Sphere and U2, but it was. I felt sick for those guys. Because that you're done. It's just like, yeah, we're done. Thanks. We'll see you. We'll be off by the weekend.
How about Lindholm? Like, how important a performance was that from that guy? Because after the trade, you know, he had an early bump there. He was good. And then kind of went away. And then there was a lot of talk. And then it came up that he might get traded. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember it came out that they were maybe calling around a little bit on him? Their big acquisition from a month ago? Yeah.
It's a tough
one. Him to chip in at this time, that's big for that guy.
It's a big one. And it's I like him as a player. And I just, when people get traded to a team, I want them to do well, right? Because it's kind of enough pressure already coming in, especially in that situation. But I think that you kind of have to acknowledge, acknowledge the play of UC Soros. It's been underwhelming, right? And you look at he and Hellebuck. Both players, you know, who we thought would have huge impacts, or I thought, in the playoffs, and both have been underwhelming. And that's a really nice way of saying how they played. That's very generous.
Where else are we going?
Ovechkin. Okay, so the New York Rangers rolled them over the Capitals that are done. Not a big surprise. I actually just looked at my notes. I had them in four Rangers. But
did you call that sweep?
I did. I looked at it here. Yeah, I've got my notes here somewhere. Yeah, that's Rangers in four. That's I had that. I also had the Jets in six, so I'm on fire. But anyways, that team, much like Pittsburgh, feels like the sun is setting rather quickly. You know, Ovechkin afterwards just talked about how he didn't have no points, no goals. Not a ton of shots. His minutes, I think he played like 15 minutes in this big game, but it's setting on them. And so they've got some decisions to make here in the offseason and figure out where they're going. But it's just not good enough. They're just kind of, they can maybe fight to get in. But after that, I'm not sure really where they're going.
How much is it about like this chase for this goal scoring title and all this? Like, I mean, I get it. It's a big deal and it's hockey history and it's all those things. But like, do you make any decisions based on that at all?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, what, like, as far as bringing in other players, like the idea of signing
making sure he's got the right guys around him and making sure he's got the right guys that can help him get there. And
I would do it on short-term deals. Anything I do right now is for the next 2 years. So if it's whomever, pick a player that's a free agent, say, I'll take you for 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. Like it's because when Ovi's done, you know, and he might not be done in 2 years. I don't know how long the big man wants to play, but this team needs to retool, restock, reload, use any re you want. But they've got a couple of nice players in, who is it? McMichael and the French guy.
Papierre.
Yeah. Papierre. Yeah. But they've got a long ways to go here to kind of get this going.
One of the results that we saw today, Colorado and Winnipeg, 5-1 final there, Streds. Not sure if you got a chance to see a lot of that, but Cale Makar, oh my goodness.
I saw that goal, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. By the way, I'm still here, everybody. I'm over here. Look at me. Arguably the best defenseman in the league. Check it out. I can skate better than anyone on the back end. Yeah, he's a special player. And again, I can't believe that this is what we're talking about. I'm looking at my notes, Winnipeg and six I had. And here we are looking at Colorado, ready to just rub them out right away here.
Crazy. All right, that was Taking a Lap, brought to you by Backscape. Straight in to Ask Us Anything, right, Zoobs?
You bet.
I'll get this down. I'll learn to follow a script. There is actually a script here that has everything actually in order. I just, it's late at night. I can't follow it. Rini Buchlan brings us Ask Us Anything tonight. The Shark of the Park, Maxwell Devonshire Realty. She's actually doing some work for the family right now. She does amazing work. Takes such great care of her clients. If you're thinking about selling during this hot season, you definitely got to give her a call. 780-994-0280 is the number. Rini's all about amazing service for her clients. because buying a house, selling a house, it's a huge deal. And you need to know you have someone that you can trust. And Renee is absolutely that. Highly recommend her. 24/7, she's working for you. Give her a call. 994-0280. Zuby, hop on in, buddy. Unreal numbers on our live stream tonight. So we're late. We're almost 1 a.m. And like we were like 700+ people or still almost 600 people. We love our live audience. Thank you so much for staying with us this late. Pretty unreal, Zoobs.
Yeah, that's awesome. We're going to be pushing our total number close to 2K by the time we sign off. So that's beautiful. An amazing start. So excellent from our live stream and everyone having fun on the chat. And I'm going to start with Nathan Jameson. He's taking a victory lap. He asked at the end of last show, do they put Derek Ryan in for Sam Carrick? And he says you guys laughed at him. I don't remember that exactly.
Did we maybe say you don't change a winning lineup? Did we maybe say that?
We certainly did say that. And then, but he wanted to add even not only that he was in, but he says, how about Derek Ryan out there in the last minute? What do you guys think? Where did that change come from? What did you think of the result and what's going to happen going forward?
I'll tell you exactly where that change came from. That change came from Sam Carrick not winning enough faceoffs on the penalty kill and in the defensive zone. His numbers were not good. That's what he's here for. He was getting lit up in the faceoff circle. Swap mode, get the other guy in and see if he can get better results. To me, almost entirely a decision made based on faceoff results. Struts?
Did I dream that he got nicked up last game? Was Sam?
Was there a hit and then he ended up going to the bench a little?
I don't know. I don't know. I feel like that may have happened. So someone wants to jump in. That was my thought, but no one's really talked about it. I thought maybe he was out, but anyways.
He was skating this morning at morning skate, I believe. I saw lines come out this morning. But okay. You might be right. Maybe it is injury related. I don't know.
And I don't want to start that rumor. I just, maybe someone else had a harder fact on it than just a gut I had. But no, and listen, guys, Derek Ryan, I've been saying all along, he'll have a part to play in this story. He's very responsible and a very smart hockey player. Not the biggest guy, doesn't have a bomb, a shot, or run people over, but he's very heady, very smart. And I think that that's really valued by any coach, but specifically this coaching staff.
Aaron St. Pierre on Vinny Desharnais says 6'7" matters in the playoffs in your own end, and the refs aren't giving him penalties for being tall like they did in the regular season. On that note too, a lot of people just bring up how the refs called the game tonight and how they let them play. So do you have a thought on that as it relates to Vinny specifically or to the game we saw tonight?
I don't think Vinny gets a lot of penalties because he's a big man. I would actually disagree with that. I don't see it that way. And I thought that was a horrendous call on Eglin based on how the game had been played.
So bad.
Like I did he grab him? Yes, but there was multiple calls that could have been called in the Oilers as well. I thought it was chintzy, but keep in mind he did drop his stick and then he kind of grabbed onto who was that? Was it McLeod, I think? But I didn't like that call in that moment. I didn't think that was a fair call.
It was more of a penalty 3 seconds later when Janmark got high sticked in the head. Yeah. That was the penalty on that play. Yeah. But I saw the Englund one again and went, oh boy. And then for them to just have the whistles away basically for the rest of the game after that. Like I this is the thing. People say they don't want game management. Right? Remember we were having that debate about game management. Oh, just call it the same call. BS. Hockey fans want game management in the playoffs. You do not want regular season reffing in the playoffs. I'm sorry you don't. You'd be complaining nonstop about how you can't make that call in the playoff struts.
But what I think players want is consistency. And I think that tonight, other than that Englund penalty, I thought they were pretty consistent. So
consistency from the drop of the puck to the end of that game or consistency from the start of the playoffs or the start of a series minutes. To the end of a series?
Because you start the game like, hey, are they going to call it tight? What's going to happen? So I felt that it was consistent tonight. So everyone kind of knew that it was a little bit in the gray area of the rule book.
Okay, Bobo Fett says, one word, composure. Oil found their missing piece to have a shot at a deep playoff run. Skinner and Team D was excellent. Do you think that I think we'd all agree with that statement. Do you think that composure is more a function of the experience that they're gaining or the players that they've added?
I think it's both. I think guys like Henrique, Hyman, obviously at home, these guys are they've been through it before. Like they know these moments and what it's like to play in those moments. But I also think it's the hurt. You know, it hurts to lose. You know, you got to take a hard look in the mirror and say, what do I have to do differently, or what can we do better? And you know, I had some texts from friends. Well, the Kings aren't that good a team. They're a pretty good team. They've got quite a few scorers. When you look around that lineup, you know, Kempe and Moore, you know, Kopitar can still put it back there. Quinton Byfield, they have guys that can score. So it's not like it's a really poor scoring team. So yeah, I agree. I think that's a good point.
You know what I love about this series, you guys? Both teams are healthy. Like both teams are healthy. They've got their lineups, right? This is who they are. And today was just, it was a great head-to-head matchup with everybody in there, everybody healthy, rocking and rolling. Zuby, couple more, bud. It's late.
Okay, Robin Field says, been listening for 2 seasons and never chimed in. Love your podcast. Best breakdown in oil country. Also, where are Strutty's glasses? Superman, my butt.
Yeah. Just
hang on for 1 second, because also Chris Rombos, he's been asking about this for a few nights now. He says, can we see the famous scarf tonight, please? But I have an idea with the glasses and the scarf. I think we need to roll. I think they need to be carrots that we dangle for the viewers when we're in round two or when whatever. You know,
right,
like
point.
I think we should promise them when the team say reaches a milestone, or maybe when we get 1,000 people live on the stream or something like that. And then everyone will have to tell three friends, get on here now. We want to see Strutty's scarf.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think we're going to have some time between series, hopefully here, to discuss my glass wearing time.
I think you should be doing the next show in your glasses, in your scarf. I think so. I think that.
Well, the scarf's not finished. My scarf production has dropped down a lot here. It's been a very busy month, but the glasses I can wear, no problem. Just I want people to know the reaction might be very favorable for some people.
Okay. If I'm sitting there thinking I'm staring at Ryan Reynolds, then yes, I will admit those look fantastic. They have turned you into a Ryan Reynolds lookalike. I will admit it if you do.
Fair point. Okay.
But I am going to guarantee, Struds, that you will put those glasses on and we will start laughing at the idea that you think you look like Ryan Reynolds. I can almost guarantee that's what's going to happen.
Whatever you guys think, but I'm pretty sure there's something there.
Okay. I'm going to look at, some people might not like this, but let's look ahead for a minute and assume some things. Braden Johnson had a very interesting comment, I thought. I wouldn't have wanted to play Vancouver in the first round. I feel a lot more comfortable in the second round with their lack of experience. Also adds, in his opinion, hard to win in the playoffs when your best player is that small. But do you think there's anything to that? Do you think the Oilers, maybe they wouldn't have come out and said this, but do you think it might have been their preference or might work out better to play Vancouver in the second round rather than the first?
I don't know. If Demko is not able to play, that's a huge, huge issue. I'm just thinking about Evander Kane just running Quinn Hughes for 7 games, right? Yeah. I think that I could just see Evander making him his personal punching bag.
He's harder to hit though, bud. He's harder to hit than Doughty. He's harder to hit than he is.
There's no doubt. But Kane's going to look for it, right? You know what? I don't know. I guess, yes, if my preference would have been Kings Canucks, but you do have to beat them both. But to be fair, I did say I wanted Vegas first round. So maybe I was wrong with that. So maybe my gut's wrong with all of them. What do you think, Shaggy?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a great regular season, but the bulk of those losses came when the Oilers were the before Oilers, right? The pre-Oilers. They're a different team now, and I think they probably set up reasonably well against them. So. I don't know. I don't know if they would have had a preference. I think this matchup in the first round is good for them. You know, I think they're the better team and I think it's winnable. And we'll see how Vegas ends up looking here because they might have dodged a bullet, but we'll have to wait and see. Is that it, Zuby?
Oh, well, let's give a shout out to no nickname Steve Taylor. He said, did anyone count the broken sticks in that game? Could you believe how many broken sticks there? It was a yard sale.
Yeah, no nickname Steve comes in with irrelevant stuff, hey, as always, Struds.
Yeah, no, that's an incredible point.
Expensive night for the team.
Yeah. Ooh, nice.
Well, it was either that or commenting on that the ice was poor, but I figured that not Steve, somebody else, but I thought that was slightly less generic.
We got to figure out a nickname for this guy.
You got to earn it. You can't just give it. You can't just take it like and say, well, no, call me Jim or whatever.
No, he's not. We're not going to let him pick his own. That is not happening on my show. No one is picking their own nickname.
You just can't choose, oh, we're going to get him a nickname. It just doesn't, I don't think the nicknames work that way. You know, there's a reason you get a nickname.
You try to nickname yourself T-Bone, you end up getting called Coco the Monkey. Am I right, Struds?
So
I think
no nicknames.
I don't want to hear his impatience, right? There's just let
it happen. I don't think we'll he is at all. Oh, well, he said it on the chat, but.
Taves Duquesne says no nickname Steve is actually fine. So that's actually not the worst nickname. No nickname.
That's natural. That's a natural. That's evolved. You don't just start, hey, we're going to call you whatever, Big Nuts. Like, why? There's just no reason.
Or I like Wonderwall for Steve, too. He's got that guitar up there. He could be Wonderwall.
Yeah, Wonderwall. Yeah, I don't know. All right, time now for our play of the day. Oh, Zuby, you were fast on the animation. Well done.
I was sitting
on it. Brought to you by Play Alberta. The playoffs are wild, right? We all know that. This year, Play Alberta is making it more crazy. Make a deposit with the promo code GYB50 to snag a $50 free sports bet with your next deposit. Get ready for unbeatable promos throughout the playoffs. 10-plus odds boosts on every Oilers playoff game. Score a chance to win a pair of lower bowl or even exclusive suite tickets for a playoff game just by making a bet on an Oilers playoff game at playalberta.ca. Bonus terms and conditions apply. And as always, please play responsibly. Struds, what's the play of the day, my man?
Well, we're going to give to Zuby credit this one. He put this in the group chat. And just the general chaos that is surrounding the Maple Leafs right now. If you didn't see the Leafs play against Boston at home Saturday night, they didn't bring it. I don't think the first two periods, they if they were skating around with a cigarette in their mouth, let's just say that thing never blew out. Hmm. And they were really, really going not very hard, and their fans are losing it. And I like it. I do like that. They kind of found in the third, but if they don't win this series, I just sit back and watch because it's going to be a gong show.
It's going to be a dumpster fire. It's just, yeah. Zuby, you don't have to disappear for the play of the day, bud. You can come back in the show. You don't have to turn the fist back into the fist.
Hang on. Now I have to press two buttons to get back.
I'm just saying. You can hang with us for the end of the show too, bud.
Yeah, sure.
I thought you had a good show tonight, Zuby. I'm actually going to give the play of the day. I'm going to split it, and I'm going to give you part of the play of the day. That Play Alberta animation came in so fast. That is tight television quality. That is high-level producing. So I think tonight your grades, I think you did good with the scoreboard. I think you were decent. I think you were slow with the Weiss Johnson jingle, so that one you're definitely getting docked. Play Alberta, you were solid, and you had the solid contribution to the play of the day. Honestly, bud, you might be – Gregor was first star. You might be second star behind Gregor. Brownie with his brownie points, me, and then Struds. So that was a good night for you.
Holding it all up as usual.
Struds way to the bottom. I don't think that's fair, Struds, to the bottom of the podium. Yeah. But
putting Midas on his shoulder. Just carry the ground again. Don't worry, guys. I got it. He's always here.
All right, people on the stream, by the way, Ryan, have my back that they say that the Weiss Johnson jingle is bang on. There's a little delay for you to hear it. I'm hitting it while you're still talking.
No, you're not quite tight enough, bud. It's Weiss Johnson demands perfection, and it's just a little bit off. So the day you nail it. The day you nail it, I'll tell you that you nailed it.
All right.
Thanks, guys. A couple of days between games, so we are going to drop one more pod before game 5. Keep an eye on our social media feed. We'll let you know which night. I'm thinking most likely Tuesday night, though. Have a good night, fellas. Thanks.
Good night, boys.
See you, buds.
All right. Big thanks to all of our sponsors, including our presenting sponsor, Sherwood Buick GMC. Thank you so much for all of you that jumped in on the live stream late tonight. We love our live audience. So much appreciated. If you're listening to us in podcast form the next day, hope you're having a wicked start to your week. Look forward to chatting again soon. We'll see you.